Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and... 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Habits You Love. Today we have on Tara Kranzel. She is the owner and founder of Frequency Coaching. So excited to talk to her today, get to know more about her and her business, Frequency Coaching. I love it. You say it's fusing science and soul for lifelong health. Love it so much. So welcome, Tara.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I was just listening to a bunch of your other podcasts before this, and yeah, I think we are very aligned. And I'm excited for this conversation.
Yeah, me too. That's why I was like, this is a no-brainer to talk to you. We met last year at a music festival, which was so much fun. I'm not mad that they didn't have it this year because I wouldn't have been able to go because of the baby. So I was like, yes, they're not having it this year. I'm not going to have FOMO.
Yeah, same. I was actually living in Texas when that happened. So I flew to Florida. I'm sure I probably explained that to you. And it was very last minute because I was like, I can't miss it. So I was a little bit happy that it wasn't happening this year because then I didn't have the FOMO of like, okay, well, I have to go. I was living in Austin, Texas at that time last year. I lived there for a total of 10 months with the intention to kind of just get out of my hometown, which was St. Petersburg, Florida, and to kind of just see how I would feel getting out of my comfort zone in a town where I didn't know everybody. I didn't, you know, feel like I had some experience on every block of the city. My mom is like really well known in the school system and whatnot. So, you know, just to see how I would feel in an environment where it was a little bit more uncomfortable. I almost felt like it was kind of just getting too comfortable here. I was stuck in a box. So I went to Austin, Texas, and that's when I started my business, Frequency Fitness, which for anybody who is starting a business, I would recommend moving away. Like it was so beneficial, at least an online business, because I really cut off all distractions. And it was, you know, they weren't at the same time on purpose necessarily, but I really do accredit like a lot of Frequency's growth and success to having 10 months of, you know, essentially kind of like solitude and finding myself and not having so many distractions. So the 10 months was a little bit shorter than I intended to live in Austin. I had a mold epidemic, which was pretty crazy with my apartment, but you know, everything truly happens for a reason. I lost all of my belongings to mold and it brought me back here to St. Pete. And now I'm back here with a business, a whole new life, like internally, just a totally different person. So yeah, it was all very purposeful.
It always is. We look back and we're like, oh, well, that's why that happened. In the moment, we're like, why is this happening? And then obviously in hindsight, it's 2020. So for business or for healing or for getting over a breakup or whatever you need, just you got to be, like you said, with where there's no distractions.
Yeah. And I think I learned both ends of the spectrum with that lesson. Like, yes, like, you know, solitude and being alone and finding my independence and really the gift and benefit in that, but also the value of community and having people that love you and that you love. You can't buy that. You know, you can't, it takes time. That happens organically. And I, especially just after the whole mold thing and coming back, I needed help. I needed help from people to buy new stuff and to stay somewhere and to find a new place to live and all of that. And I realized quickly, just like little things of even just like, okay, my hair girl is here. My nail girl is here. And when I moved to Austin to find like those new spots, yes, it, you know, there was the benefit in the novelty and the newness, but there's also so much benefit in having that community of people that you trust and you know that, again, you can't buy. So it's very valuable.
Did you find it at all in Austin, a little community?
I did, yeah, mainly through yoga and my gym. So I definitely, anytime, you know, I talk to people about whether that's going on like solo travel or just moving by yourself, like first of all, sign up for a gym, whatever kind of gym it is. I also was a dancer, so I went to a dance studio. I went to like a traditional strength training gym, and I went to a yoga studio. That's just how I connect best with people, is through movement. You know, that's definitely my thing. So those were the three places I was sure to get memberships at, to show up at, and then to talk to people in those places. Even if that's just saying hi, you know, maybe 3 days in a row when you see the same person over and over, and then complimenting their shirt maybe the next time. Just those little things created a community, as well as signing up for yoga teacher training. So I did my 200-hour teacher training at the yoga studio there in Austin, which that was 200 hours in a room with 9 other people just like me. So that was a really good way to make community. But yeah, you know, time does play a big role as well in like community and trust and friendship with people. So the 10 months there was definitely impactful. But then coming back here to people that I've known for 20 years, some of them, it's like, yeah, there's benefit in both.
Yeah, definitely. I would suggest, like you said, signing up for, or actually just engaging in activity that you would like to do or meet people at. Like, I would never move somewhere else and then like go to the bar like every night and do happy hour. Like, I want to meet someone in a healthy environment, like you said, and even just signing up, especially like a group fitness class. The yoga is a group, whereas a traditional gym, maybe a little bit harder to go up to someone and be like, hey, and start conversation. Class, because typically people go to the same time every day to that same class. That's what I would do too. I would go to the same 9 a.m. yoga class when I moved to California. I was like, well, surely I'll see the same people here. So yes, 100% agree. So I'm excited to get to know a little bit more about yourself and how you started frequency coaching, because you said you lived in Florida your whole life. Then you moved to Austin and you started the business. So what made you start frequency?
Yeah. So while I was still here in Florida, I went to UCF for college. So University of Central Florida, and I got my bachelor's in psychology. Throughout those 4 years in college, I was a gym rat. I was obsessed and so passionate about, you know, everything fitness and nutrition as far as aesthetics. So, you know, all into kind of like the bodybuilding realm, bikini competitions, all of that. I was just like literally up till like 2 a.m. just watching people's vlogs, and just, it was, you know, very much my hobby, my interest. I would literally spend 3 hours in the gym, totally nerding out on that. And I said over and over and over again to myself and other people that I didn't want to make fitness my job. I didn't want to make fitness my job. And when you say something enough, you start to believe it. You know, you keep yourself stuck in this box. So getting my degree in psychology was truly one of the best things ever. And I'll get into why, but I did originally go into it because I wanted kind of like a safe job, a stable job. I wanted to go into, whether it was like HR or even just working like in the mental health field, just in that vicinity was definitely my interest. I wasn't too crystal clear on where I wanted to go, but I felt like it was a good degree, and I still agree that it is. But yeah, very resistant in ever working in the fitness industry, although it was very obviously where my passion was. And then I ended up graduating, moved back to St. Pete, and got that stable job in HR that I, you know, felt like this was it. This was the peak. This was everything I've been waiting for. And Kayla, it was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. I hated it so much. I was inside in an office, sitting in a chair from 9 to 5, you know, at the age of 21, barely seeing the sun, staring at a computer screen all day. And suddenly I was never going to the gym anymore, because I think there's something about literally the 9 to 5 hours that just make you exhausted. Like at 5 p.m. after staring at a screen and sitting all day and being indoors, you have no energy left. It doesn't matter the food quality that you're eating, how amazing your sleep is. Like, I literally think all of those put together, you're literally just at the lowest energy levels. So my workouts were taking a hit, all of that. But that was all I knew. That was my definition of success. And I mean, obviously it was, you know, a pandemic, it was a crisis, but in my life, it really was such a benefit to lose my job due to COVID. And, you know, that just put me back in my house, feeling like my whole world has crumbled. What am I going to do? There was a part of me that was very resistant into getting another job like that, because it was obvious I didn't really like it, but I felt like that was the only option. And then I, you know, obviously everything was shut down. So I was like, all right, well, let me, you know, work my brain at least. Let me do something and sign up for the NASM personal training certification, because why not? Let me just see if I'll pass the test. Let me just study something. And lo and behold, I passed the test. And then, you know, that probably took like, I think maybe 2 or 3 months. Around that time, gym started opening again. So I was like, well, let me just see if I'll get a job in the gym. And just still holding on to that really unfortunate belief that I don't want to make my hobby my job, sort of thing. coaching, got a job as a personal trainer. So I worked in the gyms for 2 years and I got promoted up to management and kind of learned everything that I needed to as far as like fitness, you know, as far as movement patterns and working with different types of people with different disabilities or ailments, all ages, everything, you know, from I trained people from the ages of literally 16 to 92, people with one arm or just had open heart surgery, you know, a whole bunch of knee injuries, all of that. I really do feel like it was so beneficial if you do plan on going the fitness route to work in a gym. And yeah, I would say that I pretty much moved up as high as you can in a gym like that, working with clients face on. And I was really confident in my abilities as a coach. My clients got amazing physical results, the ones that I at least could monitor. So this is where I started to kind of realize that I didn't think I was making as much of an impact as I could, knowing that I was a pretty good coach. And, you know, realistically, out of the hundreds of clients that I had put together over those 2 years, maybe a handful of them had like real, sustainable, lasting results. And I knew it was because I was only seeing them for 30 minutes out of the week, maybe twice or three times for 30-minute sessions. And it just wasn't creating the impact that I originally was hoping for and that the impact that I knew I could be making. And of course, I knew about online coaching because it kind of was just, you know, becoming more popular around this time a few years ago. But I wasn't exactly sure how you could possibly be a fitness coach online. Like all I knew was meeting my clients in person at the gym. So right around this time was when I moved to Austin. So I quit working in the gyms and I just said, all right, I am going to just fully jump in, go and give myself no plan B of creating an online fitness, online coaching space that focuses not only on their workouts and their proper form and counting their reps, but that also really played a role, really focusing on their daily habits, their steps, their heart rate, their nutrition, their food quality, actually educating them on how to track macros and how to just gain confidence in living a lifestyle outside of the gym walls, which is really where all the progress and magic happens. So, you know, once I isolated myself and really focused on growing the business, developing my own skills, furthering my own education. And one of those things was learning how to just market and sell myself, because you can be the greatest coach, but if nobody knows who you are, you're not going to impact anyone. So understanding that, okay, I can be a great coach. I can have a degree in psychology and understand, you know, how people's motivation and mind works, but I also have to know how to market myself. I have to become a graphic designer all of a sudden. I have to become like my own social media manager, just picking up all these other skills. And yeah, it really all paid off. I have an amazing group of clients now with Frequency. We know now Frequency has been up and running and very successful for just about 2 years now. We're coming up on 2 years in August. So yeah, it's been absolutely magical to watch other people be able to follow programs that aren't just focused around even just fitness or just nutrition, but really diving into the mental health aspect of things, you know, giving them guided meditations, paying attention to their limiting beliefs and how they genuinely feel about themselves, and educating them to read food labels, ingredients, count macros, and obviously see physical results. The physical results that my clients have gotten in the 2 years of coaching with Frequency versus the 2 years of coaching in a gym, it's two different jobs. It's literally two different things. It's every single client that we get has a transformation, which is like, I'm really humbled and proud to say that. And it makes sense. It's like, duh, when you think about it, how would meeting a trainer in the gym actually make these lifelong changes? So yeah, is kind of where we're at now in a long-winded way.
I love it. I have so many things to say. I should have been writing them down, but yeah, I mean, our stories are very similar. Same as you. I actually wasn't a corporate job. It was a very safe job that I had. Like I went to school for it. I was doing it, but it was like kind of like my get through it during the day. And then I can go do my passion after work, which is going to the gym and everything. And then I got laid off and I just thought it was the worst, which this was in 2020, not 2020, but yeah, same as you. I was like, should I take the leap of faith and like do this thing? Because I had already done a fitness competition. I'd already had so many people reach out to me and I was like, no, I don't do that. Like, that's not who I am. I do oil and gas. I'm in finance, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, and then I just like took a chance myself and I was like, I really want to do this. Like, I know what to do. I know how to help people. And then again, like you had said something about, I can't remember what you said, but it sparked me to think about like, you have to be a walking billboard as well. The reason I had so many clients is because people were like, I want to look like you. How do I look like you? And I'm like, okay, well, hire me. I'll show you how. So you have to be a walking billboard for yourself as well. And then, like you said, you gain so many skills. So you do have to wear a lot of hats, and that in those beginning stages of being an entrepreneur, you have to do everything behind the scenes, which I accredit now. Like, I'm able to do so many things if I wanted to. If I wanted to go do marketing or graphic design for anyone or do anything like that, I have those skills. So yeah, it all plays a big part. But I have definitely seen the transformations that you post. And like you said, every single one of your clients does get a transformation, which is amazing in some form or fashion. A question I did have is, like, while you were going through this, which, by the way, I love that you got a degree in psychology. If I went back to school, that's 100% what I would do. At any point in time, were you thinking, I know you said psychology has a part to play in, like, marketing and, like, how people buy stuff. Was it ever a thought in your mind of, like, when you were training these people, like, oh, wow, like, psychology actually does play a part in someone's fitness journey?
Oh, yeah. And when I realized that, I was like, hallelujah, thank God, you know, it wasn't a whole degree to waste. No, that came pretty quickly. You know, when I first got my certification and I started working in the gym, I did think it was like just kind of like just body science only, not necessarily merging, you know, the mental health aspect or even just like kind of the energetic body aspect of things. But yeah, no, just seeing it with my clients, seeing kind of like their own mental patterns come out and realizing, oh, wow, I have learned about this. I have seen this, you know, I've read about this. I learned about this in school and it's actually happening right here in front of me. I'm using more of my psychology skills here than I ever did in HR. So yeah, that definitely played a role. And then even just noticing throughout my own life, of course, but yeah, throughout my clients and myself, you completely see that, oh wow, the body is one whole unit that works together, and the brain being not only a part of it but a pretty big of it, especially with your body and how you hold on to fat and your ability to store muscle and the patterns and the beliefs that you have, which are therefore the actions that you take.
Exactly. Yeah, that's kind of where I was going. A couple years into my coaching and training, I started to get these clients and they'd be like, I could just tell that there was like no confidence, no self-esteem, something like limiting beliefs holding them back. And so I specifically remember this one girl and she would always tell me like, yeah, like I just always work out. I always do this, that, and I never see results. Like I never get to where I want to be. Somehow or another, I peeled back all these onion layers of her brain. And I was like, tell me a little bit more about like your upbringing and your family. And eventually it came out that she was like, well, you know, my younger sister always got everything and I was never good enough. Like I was never at her level. She was always better than me. She always looked better. Long story short, I was like, you don't think you deserve to have the results because you are afraid that you can't outdo your sister in this area. And you subconsciously don't want to do that, you know, because that was like her thing was like, oh, my sister is always better than me, so I can't surpass her. So that's when I was like, oh my gosh. So then, yeah, then I started kind of implementing some like mental health into it, some like limiting beliefs, some self-confidence, self-esteem, all that stuff. So what is frequency coaching all about? Like, what do you teach women how to do? How do you give them balance? How do they get the results while still being a life, a social life, all the things?
Yeah, totally. And it's funny you say that because as, you know, we were just kind of merging the psychology side of things, one of the first things that always comes to mind is people's relationship with food. And yeah, maybe that started in their own life of, you know, maybe at one point, a boy in middle school made a comment about how big your lunch was. Or whatever. Or I grew up as a dancer and we grew up staring at our bodies in a mirror for 4 hours a day, completely just being judged on how we look. And that shit will stick with you and that will affect how you look at food. Or you watched maybe your mom, you know, hate her body in the mirror growing up, which I know a lot of women can relate to that. And as a kid, your mom is like the divine feminine, right? Your mom is like the ultimate goddess. And we know as kids that she created us and that we are like 50%. And if she hates herself and doesn't look good and looks fat and is constantly dieting, or every time a dessert comes around, she makes a comment like, get that away from me, you know, whatever, you're going to absorb that, like, period. I don't think any of us are just immune to that. So if anything like that resonates and, you know, it's something that you're still working with, I definitely think just looking into frequency would be helpful because, yeah, that's what we do, is not only making sure that you get physical results, whether that's being able to lose body fat, looking more toned, you know, having more energy throughout your day to perform everything better, feeling more sexy in bed with your partner. Like, obviously, it goes all throughout just past just the gym. And your food is going to be around forever. You know, that's something I like to talk about with my clients is if your relationship with food isn't healthy, I mean, you're just setting your entire life up for misery, essentially, and then passing it down to other generations. You know, if you have kids, just like we talked about, they mirror your eating patterns. And whether that's the restriction side, or that's the, you know, just binging side, or just having no idea about food and its nutrients and what it can do for your body, I'd say I get two types of clients. One is the woman who is an overachiever, constantly been wanting to be perfect and diet all the time. And she probably does 5 to 6 HIIT classes or HIIT workouts per week. And, you know, maybe she turned 25 and suddenly her body doesn't look the same anymore. And suddenly these Orange Theory classes just are, you know, isn't giving her the same results as they were when she was 18 or 20. So we get a lot of clients like that. And, you know, we actually introduce them to true proper strength training that will benefit their hormones, making sure that we're managing stress. Sometimes it takes slowing down in order to speed up and finding a balanced lifestyle that they can stick with forever, improving that relationship with food, making sure they're not scared to eat carbs and understanding the why behind everything. Education is powerful. Education is, again, what you're going to pass down to your kids. It's going to be what you hold on to, you know, for the rest of your life, because you're going to have food forever. Whether you're on a fitness journey forever, probably not, but you're going to be eating food and moving your body hopefully forever. So, and then we have, you know, the other type of client of somebody who maybe has never stepped foot in a gym before. They have absolutely no idea. Maybe they've been overweight their entire lives. And like you said, they have identities essentially that they're holding on to. They don't believe that they're worthy of seeing results. They don't actually envision themselves being the woman that they want to, being, whether that's light or lean or confident or being able to wear a crop top or, you know, not having that constant shameful feeling if they order French fries or whatever it is. Yeah. So getting women confident in just stepping into the gym and making sure that they are focusing on their identity over discipline. I think the word discipline is so fucking annoying, and motivation, both of those words, discipline and motivation, cut it out. It's not getting you anywhere. Focus on who you are. Focus on your identity of who you want to be rather than focusing on these made up things like, you know, discipline and motivation. I think that's kind of just like these fluffy words, and that if you put your attention on those, you don't really have to become the person that you want to be. So yeah, I mean, a long-winded way to say that is really the whole point of frequency is to give women autonomy over their own health, over their own bodies, to make sure that for the rest of their lives, they're confident in their abilities, that they can play with their grandkids, that they don't need to be put into, you know, a wheelchair when they're older, and that we can pass down just healthy habits that make you feel good, not just run you to the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just having this conversation earlier with a potential client, and yeah, I was just telling her exactly what you said. I was like, I think the difference between what you do, what I do, is that we want women or whoever to understand what they're doing, why it's working, like in real time. Like when you do this, this happens. So you forever have that knowledge in your brain. Whereas I think a lot of coaches, trainers are just like, here's a meal plan, follow it mindlessly. You'll get the results, but when you're done, you won't have any clue as to what you just did or why it worked for you. So in the next 6 months, you're going to come back to me asking me to hold your hand again to get the results again, which you will. But you will have no idea what is going on. So education, again, yes, is key. And I love that you said that about motivation and discipline. Motivation, yeah, I don't like that word either. I think it's a short term. Like, I think when you motivate someone, you can get them to do something short term, like a burst of like, oh, I'm so excited. Okay, I'm going to go do that right now. But it's not a long term sustainable thing. Creating an identity, like you said, it's like, what woman, who do I want to be? Like, I want to wake up. I want to fuel my body. I want to move. I want to look good, feel good. And like, first of all, do it for yourself first, not to get validation or for anyone else. But yeah, just create that, like, what do you envision as your healthiest self? And then every decision you make has to support that identity.
This episode is sponsored by KiwiCo. We have a 9-week-old, and when we first opened our panda crate, he was looking at everything with wide eyes. His favorite was the playmat with the mirror and loved looking at himself. KiwiCo Panda Crate is a bi-monthly subscription for babies ages 0 to 24 months for brain building made fun. All of their products are BPA-free, non-toxic, and using only water-based paints and finishes. Since he's so young right now, we are utilizing the tummy time cushion and mirror. I love that he gets to work on his neck strength while looking at different shapes and colors to engage his sense of vision. He really liked looking at himself in the distorted mirror. This was basically his first time exploring his developmental skills, so I knew I wanted something that would help his vision, hearing, and gross motor skills. We can't wait to continue learning and improving with the other crates as he gets older, especially the music and language one. We knew we wanted Montessori type learning, and KiwiCo is just that. It supports and nurtures his rapid development with products that support child-led play, encourage open-ended exploration, and engaging learning. Unlock brain-building play with KiwiCo Panda Crate. Get 20% off your first month with code HABITS at kiwico.com/panda. That's 20% off your first month at kawico.com/panda with promo code HABITS.
What would you say, like, I know for me, I have like three things that women who come to me, usually these three things that they're lacking or have no idea about or aren't educated on. What are two or three things that you see women doing incorrectly or unaware of when they first come to you? Is there like a common pattern or theme?
Totally. Yeah. Which, and again, this is kind of the difference of working in a gym versus working online and really getting a deep dive into women's behaviors and thought patterns is being able to see these, and which I had no idea when I was just training people in the gym. So the first one is under eating, which if you told me this years ago, I also would not have believed you. And yeah, you know, throughout those college nights when I was studying like bodybuilders and bikini competitors, I would recite to you a million times, yeah, calorie deficit, calorie deficit, calorie deficit. Nobody talks about the importance of not only focusing on, you know, getting into a surplus and making sure you're fueling your body, especially if you're looking to change the shape of your body, right? If you're looking to put on lean muscle mass, create definition, that means you're growing muscle. To grow, you have to be in a surplus. But then even away from that, the majority of your life should be spent in at least maintenance. At least your maintenance calories should be more than 50% of the year. You know, if you're going into a calorie deficit or a dieting phase, that's great. And that's beneficial for maybe 3, maximum 6 months out of the year. But to be able to master being in your maintenance stage and even being able to conduct a surplus and not be scared of food, not think that more calories equals more body fat, to really unlearn that is definitely one of the biggest and first things I see. The second one is undersleeping. Women are not getting proper sleep, true rest, deep rest, REM sleep, whatever you want to call it, 8 hours, like ideally. If you have to get 7 hours of sleep, that's fine. I would even say, you know, benefit you and making sure that you are having proper sleep hygiene, making sure that the room is cold, the room is dark, you know, taking magnesium glycinate before bed, making sure that you're not watching or listening or reading about crime documentaries before bed. All of these things, you know, don't only play a role in your health, but also how you look, your inflammation in your body, you know, your rest and digest. So if you're experiencing chronic bloating, where is your sleep? Where is your rest? And how is that looking? So
it's all in your stress hormone.
Yes. Yeah. Sleep is a foundation. Yeah. If we don't have that foundation set, there's really no point in moving forward. And then the third thing, which we kind of touched on, is the all or nothing mindset, that you have to be either doing 75 hard or laying on the couch eating potato chips. And that's that. And that's there's no in between. So finding that, wow, I actually can make something that's sustainable, that fits my schedule, my lifestyle, that's enjoyable, and not just focusing on being all in or all out all of the time.
Absolutely. I definitely think, God, women just have this like, I'm on a diet or I'm not on a diet. It's like, you're either on one or you're not on one. I'm like, what? Why can't you just be living, girl? Just be living. So what is your ultimate goal with your clients? Is it more nutrition and education? Is it more getting physical results? Is it more an overall well-being of health? Like, what's your ultimate goal when someone is done with frequency coaching and they say, I got blank? What is that?
If I'm being honest, it really is different person to person, which is something that I take a lot of pride in with frequency too, is what they need. No part of the coaching experience with frequency is premeditated or already laid out, or, you know, of course we have a structure and a method and a program behind it, but it's truly, I've never had two of the same clients. So some people, like I said, you know, maybe it's, we need to actually slow down more. We need to improve your relationship with food more and balance hormones, overall lower stress. Some people, maybe we actually need to kind of speed things up a little bit. We need to get up more often. We need to get out of the house. We need to increase your steps. We got to actually track your food, pay attention to what you're eating, maybe for the first time in your life. So it really is different person to person, but I guess kind of like taking a zoomed out approach, my biggest goal has always been education, because I think that's what lasts the longest. And I also think we are just in a epidemic of misinformation on the internet. That's a huge thing too, is over the last 4 years of getting getting new clients. Now more than ever, I get new clients and they tell me about the TikTok influencer that they just saw, the trend that's going on, the greens powder that they've been marketed to, like so much shit. Yeah. Maybe 75 hard, intermittent fasting. Like, so the fact that there's so much misinformation out there, I do think that it is my responsibility as a professional who is qualified to talk on human nutrition, which, by the way, a lot of people that they're getting their advice from are not qualified to talk on that. I do think it's my responsibility to spread education.
Yeah. I would say if a TikTok influencer is talking about it, here's my thing. When you randomly see, or when you see someone randomly post a product, I've been using this product for years. I'm like, you've never once posted them. That's probably a sign that they are getting paid to tell you that they have been using it for years. Yeah. Education definitely goes a long way, because like you said, even if they're done with your coaching, for one, if they ever stray off, like I have had so many clients be like, well, you know, I kind of like let myself go a little bit, but I know what to do to get back on track because of the coaching that you told me and the education that you gave me, as opposed to like, oh crap, I have to go spend another couple hundred dollars to have Kayla tell me what to do and to check in every week. It's like, no, just get the information. And that's like, I would rather have the knowledge in my brain as opposed to always having to hire someone to handhold me and to get the results that I wanted every time I let myself go.
Yeah. And I also say that that's on my, like, it's kind of a dumb business model. Like, I get it. Whereas if I made my clients rely on me, I'd be a business genius, right? Then they would be stuck with me and constantly paying me. So, but obviously it's like, that's the end goal, is to make them, give them autonomy over their own health, and health meaning social health, spiritual health, nutritional health, like, you know, outside of just losing body fat.
What's your advice on when someone says, I want to lose a certain amount of pounds? What's your like thoughts on that? I had someone tell me that today and she was like, I want to lose 40 pounds. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, I don't know if I should really be saying that. And I was like, honestly, probably not. Because, well, for one, if you constantly say, I just want to lose this much, and every day you wake up and you're not that much pounds less, it's just, you're going to constantly be disappointed. And then also like your body composition could be totally different. Like you're not 20 years old anymore. She's in her 40s. Like you at 150 now could look totally different. You know, or with the body composition, like 150 of being mostly fat is different than 150 of being mostly muscle. So I was like, try not to go off the weight, like try to go off, you know, how your body looks, how you feel. Yeah, I don't know what your opinion is on that.
Yeah. I mean, basically exactly what you just said. I think that's very important, as I always bring up the 100 pounds on someone who's solid muscle looks very different. Yeah. It could be the exact same person who's 100 pounds, but before they ever started lifting weights, and you know, where they feel flabby and soft and whatnot. So yeah, the pounds on the scale does not dictate your body composition. It doesn't dictate how your clothes fit on you. And I also like to, sometimes I'll just tell them, or I'll ask, like I'll say, you know, your dream body probably weighs more than you think, you know? And sometimes I'll be like, I want you to go on Instagram or whatever, show me who your biggest fitness influencer is, or your biggest inspiration for their body. I guarantee you, they probably weigh more than you think. And so if you let that go and understand that there's also just so many other markers of progress, which at Frequency Fitness, marking, taking track of their body weight isn't even something that is a required marker of progress. What is required is weekly progress pictures, because pictures, the way your clothes fit, your energy levels, how you feel, that is a real sign of progress. And yeah, unless there's something magical about that number on the scale, I don't understand why it's so focused on.
So you heard that, ladies. Stop worrying about the numbers on the scale. I don't even have a scale, which is crazy. Yeah, I don't even, which obviously right now it's like a very weird time in my life. Like you're talking about getting sleep, and I'm like, well, not getting much sleep right now, nor should I have a scale at all. So man, I might need to hire you actually.
The mom life.
I've had trainers in the past. Like I like to have it. Sometimes a coach doesn't always have the motivation or whatever, just inspiration to do it on their own. So I know I've had trainers and coaches to keep me accountable. So never underestimate like the power of just a coach. Even if you're like, oh, I know what I'm doing, I eat pretty healthy. That's one of the main things I heard with people coming to me. I eat pretty healthy. Like, I don't know why I'm not seeing results. And then I'd have them tell me what they eat. And I'm like, girl, it's just little tweaks. Honestly, it's, I always say, like, I've never fully transformed someone's lifestyle. Like, it's always just been like they're almost there and they just need a little bit of tweaking to get them in that sweet spot of where they want to be. So it's really never like, okay, we got to do a whole day on your life. It's like, okay, you are like 80%. Let's just tweak that last 20 and then get you to that 100 where you need to be.
Totally. Yeah. I think I want to touch on that because I think that's so important. I think a lot of people think that they need to do something extreme, and maybe that's going back to the all or nothing. But another thing that we focus on a lot of frequency is like gut health and digestion and bloating. And a lot of women think that that means they need to cut out egg whites or red meat or buy a food sensitivity test or buy these de-bloating pills or crazy probiotics, where it's like, yeah, actually, we just need to make the tiniest lifestyle switch. Suddenly now you're not bloated, you're not inflamed, and your body is, you know, more regulated and in a responsive state to lose body fat. It doesn't always have to be massive switches, but yeah, agreed. I also love having a coach. Honestly, I kind of always have a coach, not all the time, probably like 75% of the year, but I love it. It's like, as soon as I stop working with a coach, I just like that accountability. I like to know that I'm not the only one with eyes on something that's important to me, which is my health. You know, just like if your finances are really important to you, you probably have a financial advisor or whatever it is. You use like a banking system that comes with somebody who helps you. If it's something you care about, maybe like your car, you don't want to be the only one that's like looking at it.
Yeah, definitely. If something is super important to you, you will make sure that you are on top of it. I learned that. This is kind of like a silly example, but when I was pregnant, I was like religious about putting my belly butter on because I didn't want stretch marks. And so I'm like, wow, like I am really religious about this belly butter because not having stretch marks was very important to me.
Yes.
So I was like, okay, I can do this. But that's a silly example. I was religious with it. And guess what? No stretch marks. So it all worked out. Okay, let's talk about this amazing solo trip you just did. Oh my gosh, I was living vicariously through your social. It looked so awesome. What was the reason for doing the solo trip to Hawaii for a month?
Oh my gosh. All right. So I'm going to give the real inspiration, which hopefully only the girls are listening to this.
Was it a breakup?
I actually went on a date with a guy maybe like 6 months ago, and he just moved here from Hawaii. He lived in Hawaii for 2 years, and you know, he wasn't native Hawaiian by any means. He just lived there for the last 2 years of his life, and I was like so fascinated by that. And I was like, of course, stalking his pictures and everything. And I had never met anybody that lived in Hawaii and just kind of did that. It's always been a place that, of course, I would love to go to and love to vacation. And it just really inspired me because I was like, if he can do that, I can do that. So, and you know, like I said, I'm back in my hometown and I kind of have that desire to just see what's out there. I do still think I'm going to be planting my roots here in St. Pete as far as like buying a house. But since I work online, I work fully remote. That was a big, you know, intention just for a personal goal of mine is I want to be able to travel. I want to be able to create my own schedule. And I now have been fully working online for 2 years. And I felt like I hadn't really taken advantage of what I can do with that. So it was scary, you know, because this business means everything to me. And I was like, I can't do this in an irresponsible way. I don't really want it to be like a vacation. I kind of just want to go like live somewhere else and see how it feels. So I booked a month-long trip to go to Hawaii. It was more like closer to like 5 weeks with that intention to just see like, let me see what it would be like to live here. Because it looked so cool after I was like stalking his stuff and whatnot. And that was a one and done, but he played a massive role in my life with whether he knows it or not. Cause it really inspired me. So I booked the flight and it was so scary. Like, let me just say that to book that flight, which it's obviously not a cheap flight, but it's not astronomical either. You know, I was going to spend that money one way or the other. And this was something that meant a lot to me, and kind of even wrapping back to music festivals in the beginning of this conversation, one of my friends was like, oh, do you want to go to, you know, Electric Forest this summer? And it just hit me. And I was like, the price of that ticket is the price of the ticket to go to Hawaii. And right now that's really where I felt like a passion. And I think being able to tune into that when it's like, okay, this is actually like my soul's desire, I would recommend following that. So I did that. I booked a flight to Hawaii, and then I booked the Airbnb I would be staying at in Hawaii. And then that was it. And basically after I booked those two things, then I was like, okay, let me find like all the logistics now, all the places I need to go to. Let me follow all these people on Instagram and social media to maybe make some friends. That was a big intention of mine too, is that I didn't, even though it was a solo trip, because I'm a big believer that you should not have to wait on other people in order to live your life. If I was waiting on other people to visit any of the places I've been to, I wouldn't have gone, because I would say 80% of my travels and my amazing life experiences I've started and done on my own. So although this was a solo trip, I had the intention of, I wanted to make friends. I want to meet people. I want to make a lot of connections. So I really did just that. I got on the flight and I went out there. And like I said, following a bunch of people on Instagram was really helpful, whether that was like following people that have tagged in places or like, you know, tagged that they're living in Oahu or whatever that is. I would follow them, mainly girls. I think it's so much easier to make girlfriends. You know, I did try like to go on the dating apps to see how that would work. And it's weird if you're by yourself in a different state. So I wouldn't recommend that. But making girlfriends on Instagram and just asking, you know, if they want to go to the beach one day, take a yoga class one day. Again, I think movement is really good, whether that's going on a walk together. So within my first week of being in Hawaii, I met one girl specifically who she had a huge group of friends. She had like a group of 20 people. A lot of them most of them had all lived in Hawaii for, you know, maybe over like 3 or 4 years. So I felt like I kind of got in with the locals and my life was changed. All the waterfalls and the hiking and surfing. It's just such a beautiful way of life there. It's very present. It's very connected to nature. And even the people who have lived there, you know, I met a couple people who were raised there. Everyone has deep, deep appreciation for how beautiful the nature is. And that like in turn made everybody in some way like spiritual, like everybody had some kind of connection to God or source or the universe or whatever. And I think just naturally being surrounded by the beauty of nature, the power of nature kind of naturally does that to people. So I loved that. And yeah, I over the 5 weeks that I was in Hawaii, I'm not kidding, I probably made like 40 to 50 like actual friends, like true connections of conversations and meeting up and going surfing and, you know, obviously kind of group experiences, but it was really cool. And yeah, it was like, I was divinely led there is the best way I can explain it. It was so synchronistic. Everything happened very, very beautifully, which led me to actually
the one random date. Like that's, yeah, that's divine. That's a synchronicity for sure. The one guy came into your life just for that moment. And now he's out and bye-bye.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That one date literally changed everything. And then meeting that one girl that first week made a huge impact. And then towards the tail end of my trip in Hawaii, I met another girlfriend just on the last couple of days. And we decided to go to Australia together for a last minute trip for 11 days. So we went to Australia and that too was like, she now is like one of the closest people to me ever. And I just met her maybe a month ago and I've never met a friend that's so similar to me. You know, I'm a solo girl. I'm a solo travel girl. I'm very independent. I've listened to your podcast. I feel like we definitely align on that, like maybe almost like avoidant to like a fault sort of thing. And spending 11 days in Australia with her, I was like, I loved it. It felt like it was like healing to kind of get like almost that like sisterhood of spending time with somebody and not being like, okay, well, I have to do this alone because that's like what I know, but opening myself up to those connections, which was my intention, right? To meet people and have connection like that. So it was a beautiful trip.
Awesome. Everything. I love it, what you just said. Yeah, I'm spontaneous. I'm adventurous. I'm like, let's just go for it. That's actually how I ended up moving to California. Before I moved to California, I did a month long trip to California. Same thing. I was like, I'm just going to go. I'm just going to like literally get out every day and meet like one person a day, you know? And I had so many synchronicities there. I had a really cool, like full circle moment that trip in California. Someone was like, you have to go meet this photographer. He's like the number one fitness photographer. He does all the cover magazines, all this. And so like the very last day, I ended up somehow kind of just getting a meeting with him at his studio. And we basically just sat down and he basically told me like, you're not big enough, like as far as like influence, as far as like online and social media, like you don't have as many followers as like the people I work with, blah, blah, blah. Obviously he's in LA. And I was like, okay, one day I am going to live in California and I am going to work with this photographer. And then I want to say 2 years later, I was living in California and I got scheduled a booking, like for fitness modeling. And on the casting sheet, it said producer Robert Reef, who was the guy that I had the meeting with. And he was the first job I had, the first photographer I ever worked with. Yeah.
Wow. I have chills. I love that.
Yeah, so that's like my cool manifestation, full circle. Like I just put it out there. I was like, I'm going to live in California. I'm going to work with this guy. 2 years later, I was in studio with him. So it was cool. And then now we've worked together a lot. So yeah, just getting out and taking those risks. I mean, I think you maybe already kind of said it, but what do you think you learned from that trip?
Yeah, I actually was like kind of keeping notes throughout the trip of just like little life lessons that I learned throughout it. One of them is saying yes to every opportunity, you know, I obviously within like reason and be safe, but say yes to every invitation, every single thing, you know, as I was kind of reflecting back on pictures and videos from the trips, like those were the best moments and memories was the ones that like, you know, somebody invited me to, or it was kind of last minute. And I literally remember being like, should I go? Should I get some extra rest? Like maybe I should work a little bit more, whatever it is. Saying yes to opportunities will open so many doors. Even just, yeah, going on that one date 6 months ago, if I didn't say yes to that opportunity, none of this would have happened. So yeah, just saying yes. Also doing things alone, also doing things while you're scared. You know, I jumped off a lot of cliffs, which was really fun. And be safe, you know, obviously do it where other people are doing it. And I was so scared. I was so scared. There were so many
things. Not figuratively, but literally.
Yeah, literally.
Literally. And figuratively and literally.
Yeah, both. Yeah, I would feel fear, like, you know, that true, like when it's like you're about to jump off of a cliff, you get that like primal fear. And it was just so cool for my brain to be like, okay, I can feel the fear and I can do it anyway. I can do things while I'm scared. And, you know, that was like profound, like not only just for that moment, but to kind of like take on with me. And kind of along the same lines, another thing that I learned, and this is like, this might be kind of silly, but to sometimes take the beaten path, like sometimes just take the path most traveled. Like I think I learned that a lot while I was like hiking, or again, like jumping off of things. Like you don't always have to go off and do your own thing. Like sometimes just go with the herd, follow the people. There's usually a path there for a reason. I definitely learned that, like, you know, as I was hiking and whatnot. And then
I love that. Yeah. Cause you're so independent. I'm sure you're like, no, I'm going to do it this way. And sometimes it's okay to like have help in a way where I feel like you and I probably don't typically ask for that. Or want that. We're like, no, I'm going to do everything myself. I'm going to pave the way. But like you said, that's good. That's good. Like take the path already traveled and at least resistance a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes that's great. And then also just like taking the student seat. That was a big intention of mine, was that I wanted everybody that I interacted with or anything to be my teacher in that moment. Maybe the ocean was my teacher, or the woman that I was sitting next to on the flight, she was my teacher, and every, you know, cashier and whatnot to be just the student, because obviously this was a whole new experience. So to constantly be just in the student seat, especially when, you know, my job is naturally in the coach role, to really make sure that you're actively being a participant of being a student to life was really fun. And it took a lot of pressure off, and it made things seem really like innocent and interesting.
I love that last one. That's my favorite. I love that. That's really cool. I don't think people do that enough. I know I don't do that enough. And I think, you know, I think we go through ruts or times in our life. I put a lot of pressure on myself where I'm like, no, I have to constantly be this and doing this. Whereas like right now is a very slow time in my life. And I think we just go through seasons. Like you said, you had 2 years of not taking advantage of your travels, and maybe that was good for you. But then, and then you jumped off a cliff and you were like, okay, I'm a complete newbie. Whereas I'm used to being the expert. Like I'm going to go learn as much as I can about life. And I think you probably gained so much more than you know. I think like later on down the road, you'll be like, wow, that month of travel, just I learned so much from it. I gained so much from it. So I love that, saying yes to every opportunity. I'm very much about that too. If it feels good, if it feels good in your like in your gut and your inner knowing and your instinct, say yes, just do it. Like it's either going to work out for you and be good, or you're going to learn something from it too. Like I've said yes to things where I'm like, crap, I shouldn't have said yes, but I learned something.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I always ask people this on the podcast at the very end. What is one thing you know for sure? So this is something that you would say if you were on a mountaintop and you had a megaphone to the world and they were all going to be like, okay, I'm going to implement what Tara just said. What is one piece of advice that you would give?
Okay. Oh, geez. Can I give
it to you? Not even advice, just like, yeah, or just like a saying or a piece of information. It doesn't have to be like advice.
Yeah. Okay. So there's two things that come to mind, and that's kind of like the two sides of me that I feel. And, you know, one is kind of like the coach, the fitness aspect side of me. And then one is more of like kind of the spiritual wisdom that I can feel within me. So I'll start off with the fitness advice, and as a coach that I just see and I know for a fact, and yes, I would stand on a mountain and scream this, and it's that fitness is the gateway into making your entire life better. You know, your relationships will get better, your job will get better, your mental clarity, so you'll perform better, your emotions will be regulated. You know, yes, starting on a fitness journey to feel confident in your body or even just for health reasons, yes, but it is the gateway to make everything better. Yeah, that is just something I know for a fact. It's really the gateway to making your entire life better. And then the next thing is everything that you are searching for is here in the present moment. It's always here, right now, whatever feeling you're searching for, that exhale that you've been searching for, that moment of inspiration. We're always only searching for a feeling, always. And we can always have access to it within you right here and right now in this present moment.
I love those. Yay. Awesome. How can people find you, work with you? Yeah, all the things.
Yeah.
So tell us the links, the socials.
I'm really honestly the most active on Instagram. I probably should spread through other platforms, but like I said in the beginning of this, I'm a boomer with some technology things. I figured out the Instagram thing, and yeah, you could follow my personal page, Tara Kranzel, TaraKranzel, just on Instagram. Everything to Frequency will be linked there, but then we also do have a Frequency Instagram, which is frequencyfitness.coaching. You'll be able to see our transformations as well as just get a little bit more education on what exactly we offer there, see some testimonials, all of that. Either way, both my Instagram and the Frequency Instagram, if you follow it, you will learn something. It's not just promoting our services, but to give free value to people who maybe aren't ready to start coaching yet, or at least to make sure that I am the right coach for you and that you are the right client to make sure that we are aligned is really important. And then, yeah, if you do decide that we are aligned and you want to work together, the application link is in my bio on Instagram and in Frequency's bio on that Instagram.
Awesome. We will also put all that in the show notes as well and make it easy for you guys. So thank you again, Tara. Thanks for coming on. I know we're only like 45 minutes away, so we should probably hang out sometime, maybe.
We should. I was actually thinking right before this, I was like, wait, was I supposed to go to her place?
Oh, no. I would have had more specific instructions for that. Hopefully she shows up. Yes. I didn't tell her where I live.
Yeah, one day we'll do that. We'll have to do this live one day in person.
Yeah, oh, for sure. I mean, that's Tyler and I's goal. Like, we have our little space here that we do it, but like, we want to take it more on the road or like go to people and do it like, or have them come to our house. So yeah, we'll have to do another one sometime for sure. Yay. And other than that, we'll just have to hang out and I'll bring little bubs and we can do something.
Oh, I would love that.
Little squish. So sweet. Oh, he's so sweet. Okay, girl. Well, thank you so much. And I will see you around and we'll keep up.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good day. Bye.
You too. Bye.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.